Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ACN.
Good evening, everybody. It's so wonderful to have all of you here tonight. We have a wonderful, wonderful show this evening. I am so excited that we'll be welcoming our guests on in just a moment. But for right now, I just want to say it's 2018, September of 2018, and this is my first show in a while back on the air on the Ask Kathleen Network. We have our renowned producer here with us, Mr. Jerome Esprit. Jerome, please say hello to everyone.
Hello to everyone. You know, I wasn't going to say anything. Hello. I was sitting in the background being quiet.
Never that. Jerome Esprit, of course, as you know, is the host and creator of Esprit Net News Radio, which airs every Thursday evening right here on Ask Kathleen Network at 11 p.m. or so. So please, when you have a moment, do call in on Thursday evenings, or you can go online and listen to the Esprit Net News Radio in the archives, because that is the news that you will not hear anyplace else. So it's always wonderful to come on and hear that. And we also are on the air usually on Sunday mornings on the Sirius side, which is of the Jay Ryle Show, which is on another network. But there's a lot going on here on Blog Talk Radio, and it's exciting to be back on. So thank you all so much for calling in. I see you all on the board. And if you would like to join in at some point, definitely press 1. But for this evening, we have a very special guest tonight, and man, oh man, went to see her last night at the City Winery right here in New York City, downtown. It was phenomenal. The founder of Shall We Wine and author of Searching for Cloves and Lilies, the wine edition. Make sure you have the wine edition. Miss Regine Rousseau is going to be with us tonight talking about her phenomenal poetry and her experience of pairing poetry with wine. So we saw her this last evening, and it was such an amazing program. And she's traveling around. She'll tell us all about that. She's traveling around the United States with her book tour and teaching us all about wines. We had what an amazing lesson and so forth. So I hope that some of you who are on the line will join in a little bit later in the show and share a little bit about your experience with us. So, Regine, I think I see you on the line. If you can hit 1, our producer, Mr. Jerome Esprit, will see you and we'll bring you in. But if you didn't have an opportunity to read the intro, I'm going to read it for you now. So, Shall We Wine, founder and author of Searching for Cloves and Lilies, profoundly awakening poetry and the wines that bring out the best in you. From love to culture, from Haiti to Jamaica, Rousseau takes you around the world with her prose and the wines that make the words soak into your soul. Searching for Cloves and Lilies, the Wine Edition by Regine Rousseau. And Regine is here with us this evening. Let's see. Jerome, do you see? Did you press 1? Yep, there she is, I think. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Regine Rousseau. Regine, are you with us? I think I see the question mark. Jerome, do you see her her number there? Well, while we're working on the board, I'll just keep talking with you for just a few moments. Let's see.
Hey, Catherine. Yep, I'll hit her on the board, Catherine.
Okay, great, no problem. So,
she's in.
Okay, great. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Regine Rousseau. Regine.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I am doing fantastic. How are you tonight?
You know what? I am tired. I have been, been around the world and
I was thinking about you all day because I was exhausted today. I said, oh, my goodness. And Regine had to travel again last night or this morning. I know you have to be tired.
Yes. Yeah, so I went from New York to Boston, and we did the show in Boston. And then I caught an early morning flight back to Chicago. So I am home on my couch drinking some wine and feeling really, really relaxed.
Oh, that's great. So you made it back to Chicago already. You really are moving fast.
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
We're getting in, as the kids would say.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, listen, let's just jump right in. First of all, I just wanted you to know that Mr. Jerome Esprit, our producer, is on the line with us tonight, so he is holding it down for us, and just wanted to introduce you all because he had been working with me on putting the show together. So just so he has an opportunity to say hello to you. Go ahead, Jerome. I know he's going to say, I was going to stay in the background, Kathleen, but
he changed his mind. Hi, Jerome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're putting you on stage tonight.
That's just me running around. I'm paying attention. I'm with you.
Okay. Sounds good.
So, Regine, I would love for you to share with our audience, just share with us a little bit about you and about your book. And, of course, we want to get into, you know, how you managed to do this amazing creation of wine and poetry. But just tell us a little bit about how you got started in your book, Searching for Cloves and Lilies.
Well, as you know, Searching for Cloves and Lilies has a first edition, which was a book of poetry. And I wrote that, let's say about 7 years ago. And, you know, it was a labor of love and never intended to write a book. But I wrote these poems for people in my life, for strangers. And I found myself, after a very intense evening, hanging out with some women, watching Sex and the City, where we were talking about love and loss and, you know, of course, sex. And, you know, the conversation turned to our bodies. And these five women, all gorgeous, all healthy, the discussion got to, you know, what we didn't like about our bodies. And I had no idea why we do this to ourselves as women. And while we were talking that night, and I was part of the conversation as well, I was part of the body shaming and the self-body shaming. And something happened where I decided to change the narrative. And I asked the women, I said, can you tell me what your favorite body part? And for each woman who told me her favorite body part, I created a poem for her. So I would create these short poems. I frame them and would share them with the women as a way of healing and, again, changing the conversation. So and it became really intense because I found myself asking these questions to strangers, to people, you know, to friends, to family. And before I knew it, I had 100 of these poems. So,
okay, so I'm going to jump in for a second because this
is
amazing in itself. So now that means that you were a poet long before the book was created, yes?
Yes, I was born a poet.
Okay.
I was spitting rhymes in the womb.
As I was going to say, if people were sharing that with me, I wouldn't be able to say, oh, okay, well, you know what? Let's write a poem about that, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And the poetry is really very profound, very deep, and, you know, really powerful poetry. So go ahead. So you wrote the poems. You had 100 poems about body parts. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I worked with an editor, and we trimmed it down. You know, we chose the ones that we thought were not only the best, but the ones that made sense for the collection, because from working with, you know, with specific body parts, but into more of telling a story, and the stories are about relationships, family relationships, romantic relationships, and so we chose the poems that we thought best fit the collection. So that was the first edition. And, I, you know, we can get into it because, you know, I can talk, so you need to stop me. But it was tough because these poems are so personal. And they were, you know, people had a, and still today when I work with them, had such a emotional response to it. So you can imagine as a stranger reading or listening to the poems, having an emotional response, and then imagine if the poems were about you.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to have conversations with people who were in the book about their poems and about my, you know, interpretation of a moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I decided that I was never going to do it again. because I don't know how not to write from a place of emotion, and these were tough conversations to have. So I wrote the book. I did a very short tour, came to New York, and was fortunate enough to be in the New Yorker magazine. And then it was just too much for me, so I put the book away. Fast forward to how I came up with the second edition. I was in an area in Spain called Galicia, and I was there on a press trip and met these two gentlemen who have become my mentors. They're known as the World Wine Guys, Mike DeSimone and Jeff Jensen. And I was talking to them about my ambitions in the business. And they said, well, Regine, you know, if you want to get into business, you want to do the things that you want to do in the wine business, you need to write a book. And I said to them, no way, I'll never write another book. And they said, well, what do you mean another book? Tell me about your book. And I told them about, you know, the work and how emotional it was. And they said, well, it sounds fascinating. Why don't you pair the poems with wines, since that's the work that you're doing now? So I give them credit for that. And after they gave me the idea, the real work began to go back and revisit the poems and take a look at how these poems can pair with wines. What story were the poems telling, and which wines that I have been exposed tell a similar story or complement the story of the poems? And that's how I came to the wine edition.
Okay, so this is incredible enough as it is. So what I want to go do is step back a second and say, now, how long have you been in the wine business? So you went from poetry to wine.
Yes.
And then
so
back
I'm
to
one
poetry
of those...
and wine.
Yes. Yeah, I do a million things at a time. But I fell in love with wine back in 1994 or 93 when I lived in France in a town called Besançon. And I was there as a senior in college doing a study abroad program. And I went into the wine business shortly after graduating from college. I sold wine, and I actually began my business, Shall We Wine, in 1997. So wine has always been a part of my life. It wasn't always my career, but I've always studied wine, enjoyed wine, and really created a culture, a life around wine.
Okay, now that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So and it's, you said it started in 1994 when you were you were living in France. Oh my goodness, And so the wine business, the aspect of the wine business that you were in, you in distributorship, or tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So when I started, I was a salesperson, and I worked for a distributor. Today, I still work in the business in a different way, but that's where I started. I was going from door to door selling wine to restaurants and wine shops. So sales was how I started.
And that was in France or back here, back home?
That was here in 97. I was in the wine business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you've met these fabulous guys in Spain, mm-hmm. and so you were there on wine business in Spain?
Correct. Mm-hmm. I was, yes. I was visiting the area.
And they gave you this fantastic idea, and you were mm-hmm. able to run with it. So tell us more about that. And that's what you were talking about and teaching us about last night, which was mm-hmm. the actual pairing of the poem with the wine. So can you give us an example of how you choose a wine to go with one of your poems? Maybe you should share one of your poems too with us as well.
Absolutely. So let me say this. You know, wine is intimidating for a lot of people. And what I found in working with consumers is that consumers they feel like they have to be an expert in order to enjoy wine. And mm-hmm. so what I'm trying to teach people is it's about exploration versus expertise. Expertise will come later. So when I did the work, what I thought about was, okay, what is this poem saying? What is the story of the poem? What's the mood of the poem? And which wine pairs best with that? So here's an example. One of my favorite pieces in the book is called Dot. At the beginning of each wine poetry pairing, you're going to get a description of the wine, why I chose it, and then the poem follows. So I will read the description for Dot. Dot is a poem about the end of a relationship when his darkness came to light. My emotional state was like the Allegheny Amarone wine. Amarone has a dark, intense, and heavy beginning that softens given time. Amarone is made from grapes that are traditionally dried for more than 100 days. Waiting for the seasons of this relationship to change was challenging. Like the 100 day of Amarone, actualization and maturity require time and patience.
Wow.
So that's the description. So you get to understand, okay, when I see Amarone, this wine is going through some stuff, right?
Yes.
These grapes have to dry for 100 days. So there I'm giving you a lesson about a grape, about a wine, and about the process of making it. Uh-huh. Now, here's the poem. My italic lover breathes cool phrases up my skirt, and summer turns to fall. There is no chance of rain, only suspicious breezes that carry memories of heat waves. My leaves are electric, stubborn, and refuse to change color. I wish I could shake your confession loose from trees, but keep the lessons and the lovers to help me pass the seasons you were gone. Mm-hmm. I squeeze in between parentheses in search of reason, but find that there is a period at the beginning of we. Autumn, a nagging mother who will not let us forget, cries and grunts and inebriated winter days are long and laced with curses of summer heat that dried the hyphen between you and me. You offer stories of floods that baptized you anew. Ellipses, I am spring, you propose. But I have lost faith in daisies. They are fragile and withered from rage.
Whoa.
I know. I wish I had some clapping on the board. I don't have any, but I'm over here clapping, so I'm keeping quiet, but I'm clapping.
I feel the love.
Oh my goodness!
I'm snapping. What it of
is? Yes, that is. Oh my goodness! And when you read this last night, you could see everybody in the room just kind of sinking into your words. It was just, and like tonight, just so powerful. And how perfectly, you know, I don't have the Amarone, and I've never tasted that, but I can taste it as you describe it and read it with this poem. You know, the work, the patience that's required in this relationship and the ending of it, that's really powerful. And you're right. You're welcome. The wine is intimidating, but it's so less intimidating when you can show the connection between a wine and all that a wine means mm-hmm. in relation to a poem and the emotion that the poem brings up. It's like the wine helps you to understand the poem even more and embrace it even more.
Well, thank you. Yes, and that is, you got it, and that's what I want audiences to understand.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And the other thing that was so powerful last night was the fact that you showed us just how complicated wine is. But then you can just approach it with such simplicity so that you enjoy it and explore it and so forth. So talk to us a little bit about that and also how that helps bring out the poetry even more.
Yeah, so it is complex. And poetry is also or can be complex, right? The connection that I am trying to make between the two is that you can enjoy it. You can enjoy a poem. You can enjoy a wine beyond its complexity. I don't know if that makes sense or if that's resonating, but
absolutely.
Most of us will approach a glass of wine and you order whatever your favorite glass is at dinner. And you take a sip, and you just keep drinking, and you don't stop and think about it. Most of us will, read a poem or read, a story, and, maybe not really think about the depth that goes beyond it. I like to also relate this to art. You know, if you walk into a space and you see an abstract painting, you may look at it and just decide, well, it's craziness. I don't get it. It's all jazz to me. I don't get it. What uh-huh. I'm hoping this work will do is to force you to stop for a second and to take a moment and explore all of different aspects of wine so that it's not this thing that you're consuming you have to be thoughtful in your consumption is what I'm trying to say. So uh-huh. I'm hoping that through the poetry, through the parents, people see wine as something to be thoughtful about because the winemaker, a good winemaker, is an artist. They are telling you a story because they're bringing together various elements and techniques to create a very specific style of wine. And by pairing the wines to the poems, I'm hoping people understand, oh, this is the style, this is the story, this is the message that this winemaker is conveying, or this is Regine's interpretation of the message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I getting too deep? You with me?
No, not at all.
Okay,
good. I was going to ask was that you, because you have the interpretation of the message and the interpretation of the wine, which then invites people to explore wine in such a different way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so just putting it out there, I remember going someplace and someone asked me, you know, would you like a glass of wine? I really don't drink much, so, you know, every once in a while I might have a glass of wine or whatever, but I remember this some time ago. Someone mm-hmm. asked me if I wanted a glass of wine, and I think I said something like white Zinfandel, and they're like, oh, no. Oh, please. You don't want that.
No,
you know,
you
don't want that. And then if I wasn't laughing so hard, I would have been embarrassed. They're like, come on. And so they're like, no, let me help you. You know, and they wanted to get a glass of wine for me. I don't remember what it was, but it was delightful. It had a message to it. And that was mm-hmm. my first real understanding. And my father was a wine connoisseur too, which was very interesting. I never really got into it, but I appreciated so much last night how you gave wine such a different I don't know whether I want to use that word. I'll say cultural and mm-hmm. romantic curious, you know. And just something that really just draws your interest, you know. And I think even in the you know, in the opening, I was saying it just spoke to your soul, and along with the poetry, which was so powerful.
You know, imagine if the situation you just mentioned, where someone said, you know, would you like a glass of wine, and you said white Zinfandel. Imagine if someone said, would you like a glass of wine? And you said yes. And the person said, well, what mood are you in?
Mm.
And they chose the wine for you in that way. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, right now I'm at home. It's chilly. I am drinking a Pinot Noir, because Pinot Noir is, this one is a medium bodied. It's really silky. It feels so relaxing. And that's the mood I'm in. And that's that. So when I'm in that type of mood, Pinot Noir is one of the wines that I go to. You know, if it was, you know, a bright, sunny day and you walked into a restaurant and you said, I just want a glass of wine that's going to match this sunshine. Right?
Mm-hmm.
A good sommelier would be like, oh, girl, yes, I got you. I'm going to bring you, you know, a glass of Tres Adora, or I'm going to bring you a really great Sauvignon Blanc, you know, that's grassy and bright acidity. So, you know, that's the fun part about wine, right? Where you're like, mm-hmm. this is how I'm feeling, and I want something that's going to go with that mood. And that's what, you know, that's what Searching for Cloves and Lilies, the wine edition, does. Is, you know, if you read the book, and you start to play around with the pairings, you can then adopt them to your own life. Like, oh, I'm feeling a little sassy tonight. Let me get that Jamaican bass player poem.
My favorite. I love that. So, Regine, let us have another one. Share another wine poetry pairing with us.
Well, since I mentioned Jamaican bass player, I will I will definitely get that one, especially since that's one of your favorites.
Page 13.
Oh, see, that's so funny. My readers know the pages better than I do. Okay, so Jamaican bass player. So here's a description. This poem makes me laugh. It's an ode to the upright bass, the sexiest instrument to watch a man play. I paired it with the Antonori Chianti Classico Reserva wine. I recently wrote a review of the wine and described it thus: so good, I want to stick my face in the glass and French kiss it. This wine is warm and velvety on the tongue, with fresh herbs on the nose and Chinese five-spice powder on the palate. Yes, please, and thank you. Here's the poem. Play me like that upright bass. Cradle me, rock me, sustain me against your chest. Dip me, tip me, do re me while you pluck my chords into a rat-a-tat-tat. Tonight, I'll moan and scat.
Woo! I love it, and I love hearing you read it.
Well, my next project will be to do an audio book.
Yes. Yes, that would be fantastic. I'm in for that. Let's do another one. I'm loving this.
Uh-oh. Okay, let's see. Which one? Well, here's one that I usually don't read a lot. Page 47 is called Watching Her. I needed a loud catcalling kind of whine to pair with a desire in this poem. The Colbier, Los Andes Malbec, is muscular, a sinewy, peppery, dark berry blast that spanks you with a hot leather strap.
Oh, girl, wait a minute.
I am just going to stay on mute if y'all don't mind right now.
Well, you know, it's half the hour, so this is an adult show, right?
Bye.
All right, here's the poem, Watching Her. Unless you have any questions about the wine, everybody's going to go buy this wine. The wine is C-U-V-E-L-I-E-R, Cuvelier. It's a Malbec. So the poem. His silence curves beneath the peak of her breast, rattles daisies loose from her hair, swirls around her hips, taps that ass, and ruptures along the surface of her leg. She is still. He collapses, bent on bare back. A fault line is drawn.
Wow. Wow. And then, remembering also what you said in the beginning about the body parts and and the body shaming and how, you know, women together talked about and that you wrote poems for them. And so, you know, I hear so many women body shaming. I have been part of that group as well. And when you read this, you know, when you look at this poem and many of the others, there's just no shaming there. There's nothing but, you know, compassion and appreciation for women. And it's beautiful.
Thank you. So the book is divided into three different chapters or three different parts. Part one is Agitation of the Waters. And those poems deal with romantic relationships, me trying to answer the question of, well, what happens to love? Like, I'm very interested in that. And, you know, some people can simply say, well, it just dies or it goes away or it changes. But all of those poems explore romantic love and the moments that the love changes or the moment that the love is found. The second part in You and You are poems that I wrote for friends, families, and strangers in my attempt to tell a part of their story. And the one that I just read, Watching Her, is in the third section, which is Blue Nudes. And all of those poems are from that series where I ask people to tell me about their favorite body parts. So these poems will definitely, you'll pick up on, you know, one or two body parts being mentioned in each poem.
Mm. I love that. I love that. So you've mentioned some of the friends that you wrote about body parts for them, and I would imagine that they were happy.
Girl, not everybody. Not everybody.
No.
No. Well, the one that I just read, I actually changed the name. It's written for a friend. And, you know, what is the verse? What comparison is the thief of joy.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found is that the reason that someone was unhappy with their poem is because they compared it to someone else's. The one that I just read, the person it was about felt sexualized, and the other poems about our circle, they were a little bit more emotional, and they're just all very different. And she took issue with what she felt that she was sexualized in the poem. And I just shook my head and I said, oh, okay. You know, there's really nothing to say. It's just, well, this is what I wrote. This is what I saw. But yes, so not everyone was happy. I had when I was working on the first edition of the book, the man that I was dating, I love his poem. I think it's really beautiful. And to this day, it's one of my favorites. And, you know, upset because he wasn't sexualized. He was like, well, how come my poem, you know, you have all these really sexy poems about former lovers. My poem isn't sexy. And I'm like, it's beyond sexy. You know, it's, you know, I mean, you got my heart. But so it's really interesting how, you know, it's like when you take a picture of someone, right?
Yeah.
And you might look at the picture and think you caught them in the best light, or that you caught them in that moment. And they look at it and they said, no, that's not what I look like. And you're like, but it's a photo.
Yes, and this poem is about you.
Yes.
Well, I have one that I'd love you to read, but before you do you mind reading about this person who said, why isn't my poem sexy?
Oh, sure. So I changed the name again to protect the innocent. The poem is called About Him and Me. It's on page 7, so I'll read the wine description. There was a moment when we were so confident in our love that we were deaf to words of caution. No one's doubt, not even our own, could shake us. Here is that moment, family endless crush, a wine fresh and full of life with tickling acidity. This wine makes me schoolgirl happy, flirtatious with ripe watermelon and strawberry notes. The wine feels free and careless like our beginning. Mm. The poem. Right?
Yes.
One. All right. Here's the poem. One hand chases the other so our stream cannot be slowed. Between the ticking of the hands and the agitations of the waters, words timber. And this, our deaf forest. Hurry fast, O Lord, this avalanche cometh. Naked, our knees locked, front to back, one on top of the other, we crawl the steps of St. Peter.
Wow. And he said what?
Well, you know, he
said what
now? Read to... Uh-huh, go ahead.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
He had read Jamaican bass player, and he'd read That Brother They Call D.
That Brother
They
Call D, like, yes.
Yeah, he said, well, why can't that be me?
Oh, I love this. Well, this is really exciting. This is something that I don't think anyone would have thought of. And I think you mentioned it too, that there hasn't really been a pairing of wine and poetry.
Yeah, I've done some research and I haven't found anything like it. And I think that people are really wrapping around the work and around a different understanding of wine. And the events have been so much fun because, you know, you're getting this discussion about life and love and all of the subjects that the poems bring up. And then you're getting this deeper understanding and appreciation of wine at the same time. So it's been great to go on this journey and to have an audience follow me on this journey.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And the lesson in the wines is also so brilliant. I just really love this. So we have about 5 minutes left. So I'd love for you to pick a poem that you'll read for us and leave with the audience so that they can run to the internet or wherever, to your website, and pick up a copy of this fabulous book. So which one would
you
like to? Yeah. Oh, man, okay. I love it.
Thank you. Well, I will close with a short one, and then I will ask, people to come see me in D.C. October 15th at City Winery, and Nashville October 16th at City Winery also.
Oh, wonderful. And Jerome, I'll ask you if anybody has a question, if anyone wants to ask a question or Regine reads her last poem, let me know, because if we go a little past the 5 minutes, that's okay, because we'll just be in the archives. And we'll still be able to, play back the whole thing. But if anyone has a question, you can press 1 on your line now. And I don't think anybody has pressed 1. So, Regine, go ahead and read our last poem. And if anybody has a question, we'll let them ask at the close.
Okay. So this poem is called Creepin'.
Oh,
the
my
wine
goodness,
that's
the one I had open. Page 15.
Oh, perfect. So the wine description, the line makes my summer 12 months long, was the inspiration for choosing Coteau de Gomaries, the flower and the bee, Trejadora. This wine is sunshine in a glass. It has a creamy texture, flavors of fresh fruit, pink lady apple, tropical fruits, and honey. Simply magical, like this foolish summer romance. The poem. Carolyn, your husband makes my summer 12 months long, midnight early, and my lunch breaks 3 hours short. Shit, who needs a job when he pays attention? We eat each other and sleep in your bed. He makes the gospels. Music, dinner, occasionally, and Sundays are yours, so I go to church.
Lord. Oh, my goodness.
Creeping.
Wait a minute, I have a question. I didn't hear one, but I have a couple of questions. I'm just joking. Where can I get the book? Is what I'm talking about.
You can find
That's
it.
All. My bad. I'm back.
Oh, okay,
I'm going back
okay.
on cue. Make sure you send out the contact information. Where can you get the book?
Yes. Indeed.
So, Regine, tell us. So you're going to D.C. Tell us a little bit about City Winery and your connection with them so everybody can find it, because City Winery was fantastic in New York.
Yes.
I love
it. They've been amazing. They're hosting me at all of their locations in the U.S. So I have done Chicago, Atlanta, Boston, New York, and the last two stops, October 15th, City Winery, D.C., 6:30 p.m., October I'm sorry, 15th DC, October 16th Nashville. So if you go on their website and you put in my name, Regine Rousseau, you'll be able to purchase tickets. And it's going to be very similar to the show that you saw where I'm going to pair five wines with poems. I always throw in a bonus wine. We're going to have a great discussion about wine and poetry. And it's just, it's a fun night, but it's also, you know, a deep night because we're going to talk and we're going to, you know, we're going to get into the work. Chicago sold out, New York almost sold out. So I'm hoping we'll have a sellout crowd for D.C. and Nashville as well.
Oh, I'm sure. And everyone that came with me last night, they were like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much for inviting me. That was amazing. I've never been to anything like that before. She was incredible. You know, people have more interest not only in wine but in poetry now. So, you know, everybody wants to follow you. A lot of them are on the line right now listening as well. So, hi, Tress, I see you. And Stephanie was on just a minute ago. It's her birthday, too, but she wanted to jump on and listen in. So, yeah. So it was really fantastic. And we have just a couple more minutes. Just a couple more minutes. Regine, can you just do one more? Just do one more for us.
What? One more? Okay. You're giving all my good stuff. Let's see. What can I do real quick? Okay, I'll do He Turned. No. I'm going to do page 49. That's a sexy one. Well, and on a sexy note. And hopefully everybody has a sexy night, if you know what I mean.
Get your glasses ready.
Folia. Here's the description. At lunch with a former lover, I noticed for the first time this deep break at the base of his neck. It fascinated me. At the moment, all I could imagine was pressing my tongue into this space. Paired with the W&J Graham's 10-year-old Tawny Port. Like this port, he is the color of amber. His skin tastes like caramel, chocolate, and sea salt when we made love. Fuck this foo-foo Italian ice cream. I'd rather lick clean the bowl at the base of your neck. Yesterday, at lunch, thrill number 742, the absence at the meeting of your collarbones. And between conversation and bites of mocha, truffle, pecan, caramel, praline, gelato, my tongue tied crazy to taste your hollowness has not abandoned me. 2 years, 12 days, and a few hours to spare. I'm still counting the ways you thrill me.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to stay on mute, but I'll snap my fingers.
I'm still counting the ways you thrill me.
I am counting the ways you thrill me. Well,
I can't wait to have that again.
I'm gonna copy that one, Regine, and put it up on my wall. We're gonna frame that one with one of the pictures of you reading it. This was amazing, Regine. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, it's been. People are texting me. People are texting me now. Everybody's like, "Oh yeah, Dad, I see you." Oh my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, Regine T. Rousseau, Searching for Cloves and Lilies, the wine edition. And make sure that you send her a note. Regine, how can they get a hold of you? How can everyone find you? Please give us your contact info.
Yes, on Instagram, I'm Regine T. Rousseau. On Instagram, I'm also at Shall We Wine. You can find me on Facebook, Regine Rousseau, Twitter, at Regine T. Rousseau, and my website is reginerousseau.com. You can order the book on the website or Amazon.com.
Wonderful. And tell us one more time where you'll be, City Winery, and the next cities are
October 16th, Nashville.
And Nashville. Wonderful. And if people want to book you and so forth, they can go to the website and reach out to you there?
Yes, RegineRusso.com. Please book me.
Wonderful.
I'm available.
Wonderful. And she is fantastic. So I know we won't have time for it, but just tell us just the, you know, the name of the poem you read last night about Haiti. That was just so moving and powerful.
It's called After the Quake. And I
After
read it at every event. Yes. Thank you so much. After the Quake.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you definitely, if you're in the D.C. area, in the Nashville area, and if you're not, you can hop on a train and get to D.C., you definitely want to be there to witness this in person, bring Regine to your city, and really enjoy the experience of Shall We Wine with Regine T. Russo. Regine, thank you so much for being with us tonight. It's been wonderful. It was wonderful seeing you, and it was wonderful having you here tonight on Ask Kathleen.
Thank you, Kathleen. Have a great one.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you again.
Good night.
Thank you so much for joining us. Ask Kathleen Network again tomorrow night at 11 p.m. You can check out Esprit News Radio, and I'll send you out some notices when we are here with our next guest. For sure, we will load this on the on Facebook and on Twitter. We'll send out a link to you. In the meantime, have a phenomenal evening, and definitely pick up your copy of Searching with Cloves and Lilies, the wine edition by Regine T. Russo. Good night, everyone.